Hello and welcome to the NBA Outlet presented by OTGBasketball.com. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me, as always, Corey Waldron and two special guests today from the OTG Podcast Network, Just Ball Things, Jack Manuel and Nick Busink. What's up, guys?
Howdy, howdy. Yeah.
We are one Nick short of being like a Nick party. We need like Nicolas Cage in this thing right now.
Nicolas Cage would make everything better.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I love your guys' podcast so much that when I got a new car, my license plate actually says JBT.
Are you kidding me?
It's a real thing. That's a real thing. I mean, like, actually, I'm not going to lie. It wasn't planned on my part. He kind of just gave me the license plate, and I was like, JBT? Like, there's no way.
We haven't copyrighted it yet, so unfortunately, you are allowed to still have it, Corey, but we will be patent pending. So.
The DMV wants you to be a lifetime,
true that. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, what we are talking about today will be the Washington Wizards. Before we get started, though, as always, you can check out us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, and YouTube. You can also check out JBT at the same spots. But before we talk about the Wizards for next season, we're going to look back at last year. 43-39, 8th seed, lost in 6 to the Raptors in the first round. John Wall was banged up, only played 41 games, was back by playoff time. But what were your thoughts on last year for the Wizards?
Safe to say, I think it was a bit of a rough season with the changes that were forced upon the team.
Yeah.
No, I'm a bit of a Wizards fan, and if you think the Wizards did well last season, you're delusional. John Wall's injury forced Beal to take almost full-time point. And, you know, improvements definitely need to be made. Our attitude was a big talking point for sure. And an 8th seed finish and a first round exit, having been blown away in those first two playoff games, personally for me, just isn't good enough. So what I make of last season is it wasn't great.
Yeah, I mean, it was like a roller coaster, but without like the fun of the roller coaster going
down.
It
was just constantly up.
It was just an up. You're just like, you're always tense going up the roller coaster. Yeah. It never went down. You never got the adrenaline rush or the serotonin and stuff. But yeah, it was definitely one of those up and down seasons. Nick at least has had some sort of success being a Wizards fan, but I don't know. He seems to bring him down a little bit, and he's a bit of a status. But yeah, I think Bradley Beal was a nice spot, but it was up and down. Scott Brooks' coaching. I mean, I don't know when the Wizards have had a really good coach. Yeah. Randy Whitman.
Bring back Randy Whitman.
But yeah, I think it was up and down to say the least. It was a bit of a bipolar season from the Wizards, as it tends to have been for probably maybe the past sort of half decade or so.
Yeah, I think definitely Bradley Beal was the highlight. I mean, Otto Porter Jr. has definitely shown some nice strides. I think he's a nice number three option. He probably would be better if he had a bigger role within the offense. It just sucks anytime your star and John Wall, you know, he misses a ton of time with the injury. And then, I mean, all the mini beef between him and Gortat and all the teammate stuff. I mean, that was such a weird, like, undertone to last season.
Yeah.
I mean, when they're healthy, I mean, this is one of the top five teams in the East easily when John Wall and Bradley Beal are both healthy. It's just the chemistry in the locker room. It seems to be what kind of holds this team back from taking the next step. And, of course, this team was talking so much trash to start off the year. You know, like before the Lakers game in particular, like, well, we're going to shut him down and everything else, DeLonzo, and that really didn't go according to plan.
The funeral game.
We lost that game as well. We lost
that game. Which was embarrassing. That was a really bad loss. That's like one of those games where I was like, all right, if the Wizards like back this up, then like respect. And then like they just didn't. And I was like, ooh, this is not a good sign.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talking about that, what Corey mentioned, the chemistry last year in the locker room, how much do you think that impacted the Wizards, you know, last season?
Majorly. I mean, it was an underlying factor throughout that whole thing. The little what's the word? Passive-aggressive tweets from Marcin Gortat. Just about the team play.
Buy-in,
you could see it on the court when you have a sense of unhappiness.
Yeah,
there's a sense of arrogance in that team, and then that drives you right down. Because I also, in my many sporting areas, also follow Manchester City, and old Manchester City were very arrogant when we had Tevez, and I might be spitting names that is... You know, guys don't understand
speak
at all.
Make that knowledge.
But the arrogance in the team is very similar to what's happening in the Wizards, and it doesn't work.
Yeah, and I mean, especially with basketball, you need to have that team cohesion, that team chemistry. I think it's, you know, the best teams of all time, like, you know, the Boston Celtics of old, even Kobe and Shaq got along when it mattered. But this Wizards team, whether it's John Wall, whether it's Bradley Beal, whether it's a combination, but I think everyone knows the photo that was making the rounds late season of John Wall and Marcin Gortat arguing with Bradley Beal, a towel over his head. I mean, if we had, like, if we were doing a video podcast, that would be like the background image for this thing.
Picture says
a thousand words. Yeah, yes, it does. Nick. But yeah, it was certainly more down spots than up spots, to say the least.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much exactly what Jack and Nick said. I mean, I think it definitely had. I think Gortat leaving isn't just. Obviously, he can't even make a layup at this point in his career. I know that me and Nick made. We were really hard on Gortat last year on the NBA outlet. Like, he was one of the players I think we picked up on a lot. He just wasn't good. And then, of course, when he started, like, calling out your teammates and, you know, more and more, you know, John Wall than anybody else, it definitely makes for locker room issues. And the locker room is already, as we mentioned, you know, it's been kind of turbulent already. I mean, it hasn't been smooth sailing for that locker room in particular between John Wall and Bradley Beal. And they made a great addition to try and fix that, right?
Yeah, they remind me of a Clippers East. Sorry, Nick. They really remind me of a Clippers East. And JJ Redick came out recently, and there's always been these little tidbits of, like, the passive aggressiveness and, like, not buying in. Like, the amount of talent that this Wizards team has, I've always been super high on them. And I did an article for the Hot Take Marathon, sort of. And it was a huge hot take saying that they could finish with the third seed. But that's because I fully believe in a healthy John Wall and Bradley Beal. But, you know, obviously with all the personality issues, I mean, we're going to be talking about this for the rest of the season. And they could be the number one storyline in the Eastern Conference, especially with LeBron James now gone.
It starts from the top down, though. I mean, our Wizards fans have been calling for Ernie Grunfeld's head for a long time.
Yeah,
there is a lot of Wizards fan pages that are just like, boot out Ernie, and it's like, not to blame, you know, Scott Brooks and the team and whatnot, because it starts from a you know, the talks cut the head off the snake at the top.
Yeah,
I'm bad at
these, no, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying.
Phrases.
We aren't good with the analogies, but I can understand it because I'm very close.
We
to
speak
him.
A unique language.
We do. It's the accents, guys. It's not what we're saying. It's the accents.
But yeah,
it makes sense. I know what you're saying. But yeah, all of those are fair points, and the Wizards will be one to watch going into 2018-19.
And like Jack was saying, talent-wise, they're such a great team, but it's just the chemistry and everything gelling, I think, is what the major concern is. Because similar to what Jack said, I've been pretty high on them in the past, and they just constantly let me down. But talking on a more of a positive note.
You're telling me.
It's a nickname, I guess. Highlight of last season.
I think we touched on it before. I think Corey touched on it before. Beal's rise, I guess, whether it was natural or forced upon him, doesn't matter. He got the All-Star nod, so I'm stoked about that. With Wall missing half the season with that pesky knee, he played all 82 for the first time in his career, so that was fantastic. He got career high in assists and rebounds as well, which just highlights that elevated role. He made that All-Star in the first ballot, which was, you know, impressive considering the amount of injury replacements.
Yeah, that's
true. He wasn't just pinned in as an injury replacement that got in. But yeah, I mean, he was easily the highlight for me.
Yeah, definitely. 30 points or more 15 times throughout the season. And then that 51 insane performance against the Blazers in December. Mm. You know, the most points ever scored by anyone playing the Blazers on the road. And, you know, if the previous record holder for that was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So decent company for Beal to be in. And yeah, I think the 82 games was a real, you know, highlight, because, you know, Beal's been really questioned for his health. And obviously, you know, you can't help injuries some of the time. But I think the durability has been a real question mark over him in terms of taking that next step. And he's sort of erased that now. And whether he can do that going into the next season as well, obviously, is going to be a question. But he was awesome. You know, he finished fourth among all NBA players in total minutes played. So durability was certainly a huge factor for him going into the season. And a little minor shout-out to Thomas Satoransky. I thought he was really awesome. And I think Scott Brooks probably underutilized him, especially in the playoffs as well. But I think that he was really, really good as a backup point guard. And I hope that he can get used a little bit more going into next season.
Just touching on the 82 games, it's got to be a huge confidence booster for him as well.
Yeah, so absolutely. He has good faith going in himself
into next,
now.
Exactly. Yeah. Good going into next season.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm a big Bradley Beal fan. I'm a big Florida Gators fan, so I got to watch him in that one year in college where he lit it up. Yeah, I mean, Bradley Beal was tremendous last season. Obviously, playing all 82 games you guys mentioned, being the guy when John Wall went down. I mean, I know you will probably know this better than me, Nick. I mean, that stretch where Wall was gone and this Wizards team started winning games without Wall, yeah. And they were kind of on that hot streak where even like NBA Twitter was like, damn, like the Wizards are better without John Wall. And it was like, all right, like you're all morons, first
let's
off.
Let's slow down here. Yeah, exactly.
let's take a step back and realize that there's an all-star, borderline superstar not on the court right now.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that stretch right there, though, shows what kind of player Bradley Beal is, because when he's forced to be the number one option and you make, you know, Otto Porter Jr. the second option, that this team can still be successful. And then when John Wall can come back and this team – you know, can get stuff back on track, this could be a really dangerous team. Like, they have all the confidence and all that when they're actually playing. They just got to be healthy, and they, you know, obviously they have to like each other when they're on the floor.
Yeah, that's pretty important. That's key. But like you guys said, Bradley Beal obviously is the highlight, but like Jack mentioned, I usually go with the low-key guys. Thomas Hanoransky, I thought, was really impressive, going from pretty much a nobody to getting a lot of hype when Wall was out. And like Jack also said, Brooks probably didn't use him enough in the playoffs, and I thought he was really impressive, and there's plenty of room for improvement. Or if they don't want to use him, I think he'd be a nice trade asset. But going back to the Wall and Beal talk, you know, there's a lot of talk last year. If you could take one of them, who would it be, Bradley Beal or John Wall moving forward?
Nick?
This has been a question plaguing
me. It's like choosing
me.
Between like your future children.
Yeah, definitely. I'm sticking with Wall. It's just he has proved himself a lot more than Beal at the moment. Jeez, that is a tough question, but I'm going to have to stick with Johnny.
But in terms of personality fit, it seems like Brad Beal is almost
he's more placid.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. I think you're getting a higher ceiling with the John Wall, but probably obviously with his injury issues, it's odd. Like, their roles have almost reversed in terms of the injuries. And obviously now is when you sort of want to be getting healthier. But obviously that contract as well with John Wall, the Supermax kicking, and not even next season, the season after. I'd personally take probably John Wall as well, just because his upside is tremendous. I remember the days where it was John Wall or Kyrie Irving. That was a legitimate conversation. Obviously, Kyrie Irving has usurped him and then some, but I think the fact that was a thing, you know, John Wall in the playoffs a couple of seasons ago against the Celtics, That dagger, yeah. Ooh. I mean, he's got all the swagger when it's used to the... I mean, the personality is obviously an issue. But I think his game, I think combine all those sort of issues, I think he is still the number one guy. I think it's just going to be health concerns that are going to linger going into next season and beyond.
What about you, Corey? Beal or Wall?
I'm sorry. I was actually trying to think. Like, this is a really hard question.
It is a tremendously hard question.
We're gonna put this on Twitter, Nick. Put on the OTG Twitter. I reckon it'll be interesting to see the results.
It's gotta be.
What do you want, Jack? Sorry to cut you off, Corey. Poll or regular tweet?
We'll do poll, because then we can have the numbers to prove it, and then we can add John Wall if it ends up being Bradley Beal, and he will retweet us, and we will get millions of followers and stuff. But yeah,
we'll just start another rift between the locker room. That's all. We're just
via OTG.
Yeah, true that. Yeah. True that.
We're the reason that Bradley Beal demands a trade in a couple of months. I'm leaning towards John Wall still. I just think because of the overall impact he can have on the floor, you know, being the point guard and the guy who's got the ball in his hand majority of the time, the facilitator. If his jump shot can stay consistent, he can elevate the 3-point shot. I mean, I think it's got to be John Wall, but I mean, it's just so tough because Bradley Beal, you know, he's got those Ray Allen comparisons because he's such a great knockdown shooter.
So smooth when he plays.
And he's actually a really underrated playmaker. Bradley Beal can actually get other guys involved. Yeah. I mean, not to the same level that John Wall can, but I'm going to go with John Wall.
Yeah, I think with the Ray Allen thing, the only thing that Ray did way better at his peak was get to the line. Like, he was ferocious at getting to the line, and his dunking ability was insane. I think Beal still has a ways to go in that, but I think it's one of the sort of few weaknesses in his game right now.
Yeah, and I think one thing that makes this a little bit closer is obviously John Wall's injury last year, and then you're a little bit concerned about the knee moving forward. But flipping the switch to a negative side, biggest disappointment of last season?
Biggest disappointment was sort of quite a few to choose from, I guess.
How long you got? Yeah.
and they more or less all stem from the arrogance, the attitude problems, and the disharmony in the locker room. I mean, we've all touched on this before, but we were doomed to failure in those playoffs when Wall's comments regarding the tanking of the Cavs because they were scared to face the Wizards. That was just, why? Yeah. Why? Yeah. And then that put a curse on us, and it was almost like a fait accompli that we would go and have a 6-8 March and a 1-5 April.
Yeah.
We lost six of the last eight games we were fourth.
Yeah.
And we finished
eighth. it's a horrible finish. And John Wall was back at that stage as well. I mean, you have to say the locker room issues in terms of, and on court, it was reflected. Like Nick mentioned, six of the last eight games, you finished in that fourth seed. You get home court advantage rather than versus the Raptors. Yes, they did challenge them and they could have easily beaten them. But, you know, a fourth seed is much more comfortable and a much easier a ride to the second round than, you know, sliding down to that eighth seed. But,
I don't put a lot of stock into those playoffs wins. We put it to six games, but we got trashed in those first two games in Toronto.
Yeah.
And it was embarrassing. Like as a Wizards fan, you stick by your team, like any team, you stick by your team. Comments they make, it's like, oh yeah, maybe they did tank. Maybe they did. Maybe we are the best team in the NBA. Yeah. And we go and lose to the Raptors in the first round and get smoked in those first two games. It's embarrassing.
Yeah. I mean, there have been many comments made by teammates, whether it's Jan Mahimi, Bradley Beal, you know, any guy. But for me, the ones that ring true, and this is by USA Today, and John Wall said this, and he was sort of saying he puts the pressure on himself, but then he finished with, if I'm doing my part, the other 14 guys on my team have to do their part at getting better every year, just being true to the team. I think our problem we have a lot of times is guys that understand their role and respect their role. That is like damning coming from the leader of your team. Now, if that's LeBron James saying it, like he's got the sort of gravitas behind him that he can say it and people will ride behind him because he's got the sort of, he gets the buy-in first. I don't think John Wall like puts the arm around the shoulder enough as a leader of the team. And obviously the yin and yang sort of personalities of Wall and Beal, but we've seen it work with Simmons and Embiid to an extent. Like they're both sort of very differing personalities. And like, you know, you make it work because it's what's best for the team and it's what's best for your organization. And it's ultimately what's best for you. If you're winning, you're going to get that money. You're going to get those kudos. You're going to get the All-Stars, the All-NBAs. So those comments for me were just emblematic of what was a pretty horrible season for a team with so much talent.
I really want to nitpick the comparison of Ben Simmons and Embiid to Wall and Beal. Only because I don't think Ben Simmons has the mentality of he wants to be the number one scoring option on a team, which is why they work, because like they know Embiid is the number one scoring option. Whereas for the Wizards, like John Wall feels like he is the number one scoring option, when it's probably Bradley Beal.
Yeah.
So I just wanted a little nitpick. You know, leave the podcast. Don't leave. Don't kill me.
No, I completely hear what you're saying, but I think that it's more the number one guy mentality. I think Simmons and Embiid work well together because Simmons wants to pass first. He doesn't want to score. Like, he's not a scorer. He's a Rajon Rondo type in terms of the fact he'd rather get those assists on the board, those 20 assists rather than, like, you know, a 20-point 10 assist game. And I think, like you said, Corey, I agree with you because that mesh as well, because Joel Embiid can get those buckets down low if he gets fed, you know, in terms of being like a post passer. Ben Simmons is really good, but I still think that there's a lot of work with those two for them to like fully reach their potential, because there's still, you know, issues going forward. But we're on a Wizards podcast. We'll do a Sixers podcast at some stage in the future.
Yeah. But my disappointment it's got to be the John Wall injury. I mean, just not having him there. I mean, what did he play? 40 games?
41?
Yeah.
41 games? Yeah. I mean, that's there's no way to get any kind of rhythm or chemistry. And they still took that Raptors team to six games. And I remember when we were talking to previewing that the first round series, I remember just saying how, like, I just didn't believe in that Raptors team. And I thought the Wizards actually could have upset them. Like, if John Wall had played, let's say, 60 games, right? And he still misses 20 games, and they come into that first round with a little bit more playing time together, I think that Wizards team probably beats that Raptors team. That Raptors team is just so fluky when it comes to the playoffs. And as you mentioned, Nick, they got steamrolled, you know, those first two games. But, I mean, when they went back to Washington, I mean, the Wizards looked like the far and above better team. Obviously, the game was close, but it just – I don't know. So between the Wall injury and then just the chemistry is probably the only disappointment for me.
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously you lose, you know, a top five – Yeah, top 10 point guard in John Wall. That always sucks, and the chemistry is bad. And like Corey said, Marcin Gortat was pretty trash, and I think that hurt them in terms of not having a roller to the rim. And they really had no good center. You know, Jan Mahimny, Marcin Gortat, and Jason Smith, you know, those guys aren't really going to move the needle for you. So, you know, I think that was a pretty ugly situation there. And hopefully it could improve this year with Dwight, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But moving on, the ranking by the OTG staff, number 16 for the Wizards. Is this fair, too high, too low? What do you think?
My initial reaction to this was that it is way too low. And then I remembered that we are the Wizards and that it's probably warranted. I was having a look at those rankings yesterday. I think it really just depends on what year you catch us.
Yeah.
We could be in that top 10.
Yeah.
But realistically, given, you know, we've had so many down seasons to, you know, one
49 win season.
Yeah, one up season.
Yeah.
There's nothing really showing that we can do that. But I am excited. I'm excited, Jack.
Yes, mate.
I'm excited, boys, about Dwight. He's going to have a resurgence. He's going to transform his game.
Save it, mate. We're not for the free agent additions just yet.
I am excited, so that's why I think this is a little bit too low.
I think it's fair right now. If you're talking about like right in the middle of the pack, I think the Wizards are right there, being in the Eastern Conference as well. You know, there's a lot of depth in that Western Conference. I know Nick and I had an argument that we said we would postpone until like a later podcast for JBT about teams like the Denver Nuggets, the Portland Trailblazers, the Pelicans, and where are the Wizards in that sort of glut of teams. But I think that this is quite fair. Obviously, like Nick said, I think they have a high enough ceiling in terms of where they can reach, you know, a little bit high. They can maybe crack that top 10, but I think for right now, this is fair. And, you know, anywhere in that middle tier from 15 to maybe not as low as 17, but around that range is very fair.
I think it's fair to start, but I'm right there with you, Nick. We'll get to the additions. I'm actually really excited for what this team could look like next year. But I think it's fair to start. And, I mean, even where they are in the ratings right now, it's not like there's a lot of Eastern Conference teams above them. It's really just the fact that the Western Conference is so good that all the Eastern Conference teams are really in, like, the bottom half of these power rankings.
Very true. I agree with you guys, though. I think the Wizards could definitely boost themselves up, but I also could see, you know, the locker room kind of exploding and maybe dropping a spot or two. So I think to start the season, this is very fair given their talent, but obviously the chemistry issues could bring them down. But,
guys, is there a team? Sorry, Nick. Is there a team? I'm just thinking because we always talk about floor and ceiling when it comes to these ratings. Is there a team in the NBA right now that has a greater discrepancy in terms of their ceiling can be quite high, but their floor could also be astronomically low? Like, is there like a greater team with a wider range?
Playoffs in the East?
Yeah, is there a team with a wider range than the Wizards in the NBA right now?
Blazers?
Maybe the Blazers.
It's tough to say. I would say in the East, definitely the Wizards. The Wizards are definitely the team with the highest ceiling and the lowest floor. I mean, I guess if maybe you want to look west, you can make the argument for the Lakers.
I was going to say the Lakers. LeBron. Yeah.
You know, LeBron could technically get them to the finals, or they technically could maybe slip into the playoffs or just miss it. You know, it depends on who you're asking. But I think that's probably one of the top three teams in terms of what the biggest differential is. That's what I have on my notes too. It's just like, what are we going to get with the Wizards? I really don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm sure it makes Nick sleep better at night. moving on to additions, draft picks. Troy Brown Jr., 15th overall. You know, some thought it was maybe a reach. Nice playmaking player. You know, has some good size. Jumper is a little bit unorthodox. But what were your thoughts on Troy Brown?
Being the avid college ball fan that I am, sarcasm fully intended, I go into the draft every year fairly blind. And I don't see that as a bad thing. I look at these guys with open eyes, embrace them for what they can and cannot do, and read a lot of articles and get other people to form my opinion for me. it's a decent pick. Like you said, I think it was regarded as a bit of a stretch, I'm willing to reserve my judgment until he can maybe solidify a constant bench spot. Coming as a shooting wing.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing here is like, what mold does he fit right now? And that can be a good thing and a bad thing. You know, we were chatting a bit about this off wax, and I sort of, we brought up the comparison of Evan Turner. I even think Caris LeVert of sorts, but obviously they're different games, but they're athletic guys that can shoot a little bit, that can pass a little bit, that are very athletic. I think he has a ways to go in terms of his jump shot, but I think it's going to be interesting to see if he can crack the rotation. I'm not sure how confident Scott Brooks is going to be to play. You know, if he couldn't play Thomas Satoransky last season,
that's right,
barely any minutes. How much time is he going to give to a guy like Troy Brown, who I think has some real potential, and I think can be a nice complementary piece in this Wizards system. Like, you know, they've got guys like Kelly Oubre, Otto Porter, these sort of like nice rangy wings that can do a little bit of everything. So I like the pick, despite the fact that, you know, many of people had him even early in the second round, let alone mid first round. But, you know, the whiz is going to whiz.
Yeah, I mean, Troy Brown, right? I'm with you, Nick. I don't watch a ton of college. Like, literally, I make a bracket for March Madness, and that's, like, as much of college basketball as I pay attention to. Pretty similar to, like, my NFL coverage now. Like, I make a fantasy football team, and I watch players, and all of a sudden, like, I realize some teams, like, you know, really good or really bad. I mean, Troy Brown is interesting. I mean, he's 6'7", he's 19, he's a young kid. I personally wouldn't have selected Troy Brown at this pick. I was kind of shocked they did. I mean, I'm skeptical. I don't necessarily understand the pick, but I mean, we're all in on him, I guess, right?
Yeah, Nick's got some stats for me. The stats man's back.
I've got some stats. All right. Well, in summer league, he was averaging 18.4 points a game off 43% field goals with almost 7 rebounds as well. So, I mean,
second top scorer to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, which is
exactly
decent. Yeah. So, I mean, it's if you're looking for signs, and like the summer league is generally where you see that little spark. It's
the only real thing that we've got.
So yeah, I mean, other than college ball, and I pay more attention, obviously, being. We're all NBA heads. We're not Dylan Jackson. We're not, like, you know, draft experts. And, you know, we'll leave that to him. And he's doing that absolutely awesomely. But, you know, we pay attention to what they can do at an NBA level. There are still NBA caliber guys they're playing against at the summer league. At the college level, not so much. So I think that was a nice sign, that being the second top scorer, you know, second in rebounds, fourth in assists. You know, it's not too bad.
Yeah, it seems like the vibe that you're getting from him is he's going to be a nice player, maybe not a starter, but a really nice guy to bring off the bench and just have some playmaking with some good size. And I think he's another guy that benefits of being positionless basketball. You know, maybe a couple years ago, it'd be a little bit harder to find a role for him, but now he should be in a good spot. Looking at some more additions, though, trade-wise, they picked up Austin Rivers, obviously a combo guard, gives him some nice bench depth. And he's really honestly developed into a solid player in LA. A lot of people hate on him, but I think he's okay, and it's not a bad pickup. What are your thoughts on him?
I think a lot of the hate stems from the father-son situation,
yeah.
Didn't help. Like, all of it. Yeah. I mean, you can't. When you know. But I guess he has now. but he was good. But like, all that hate was unwarranted. Like, people were saying, like, why is he getting a game? Well, because his dad's the coach, but.
He's a good basketball.
Yeah, he was, especially last season. I feel like he elevated a little bit. So he can definitely be useful off the bench for us.
Yeah, I think in maybe even some three-guard lineups, I'd like to see Scott Brooks experiment with that a little bit. I think, you know, obviously he doesn't have the size to sort of be like, you know, a small forward, but Bill has that a little bit more size. And I think, you know, if you're going all out offense, I think he could be quite nice there. I think, you know, he can play a complementary piece alongside either of those guys if one of them is on the bench or if both of them are on the bench. So I think that, you know, he's a nice piece. I think in terms of getting it as a return for Marcin Gortat, isn't horrible. I think that, you know, who knows what we could see from Austin Rivers next year. He could be in a six-man of the year conversation, or he could be, you know, another part of what is already a cancerous sort of locker room. But I don't mind it. And I think I've read recently as well that he's buying into being sort of like this sort of defensive stopper of sorts. Now, Austin Rivers has never been that at all, but he's sort of buying into the role. Maybe he's had a word with Scott Brooks and the front office and said, sort of going, okay, well, we've got the offense. We want, you know, some real gritty defense to sort of help elevate us there. So who knows what we could see from him next season, but he has proved himself to be an NBA caliber player. And I think that that's enough has been said of that. And, you know, we need to sort of, you know, give him a bit of a break in that sort of sense.
All right. So Shelvin Mack, Sean Livingston, let this continue. Trey Burke, Eric Maynor, Raymond Sessions, Tim Frazier, Andre Ty Miller.
Ty Lawson.
Who am I missing?
Ty Lawson.
Who?
Ty Lawson.
Ty Lawson. Ty Lawson, yep. So these are just some of the failed experiments for backup point guard the Wizards have had in the recent years. Oh, Brandon Jennings. Can't forget Brandon Jennings. They keep looking for a backup point guard to kind of help when John Wall, if he gets hurt or for, you know, a change of pace. And they just haven't had a backup point guard. So now, I mean, even though, you know, I mean, it depends on what you see Austin Rivers. He's more of like a two guard, but he is, I mean, positionless basketball, he's a one or a two. Yeah. So Austin Rivers is like the next guy up. You give another guy a chance and possibly be the backup point guard for John Wall. And, you know, on paper, I was really high on Tim Frazier last year, so yeah, I feel really so stupid. Austin Rivers could be that guy.
Yeah, I'm more disappointed at the fact that I think if Austin Rivers takes minutes from Tomas Satoranski, who was a really effective pace in terms of his shooting, in terms of his passing, in terms of just his malleability and his ability to
he's
fit.
He's a smart basketball.
And Scott Brooks is just going to say, oh, Austin Rivers, he's played blah, blah, blah. He's played in winning sort of systems. And he's a veteran of sorts in comparison to Sato. I hate coaches that are like that. And if Scott Brooks, if I see Austin Rivers being played like that in the clutch more than Tomas Satoranski, I'm sure Nick is going to be the only one that's going to be, you know, pulling his hair out.
It's a very Tom Thibodeau sort of
mentality.
Yeah.
Scott Brooks has definitely caught a lot of hate for the lineups he chose last year, and I agree. I think Austin Rivers can provide them with something, but if he's taking minutes from Satoranski, that's not a good thing. But looking at free agent signings, Jeff Green, 1 year, $2.5 million, you know, a solid veteran off the bench, some nice versatility. Thoughts on bringing over Jeff Green?
I like it. I mean, yeah. Some more depth on that wing, which I think, you know, can never be undersold. Some veteran presence, like you mentioned. Championship? Did he win that championship with them?
No, not yet. Last season.
But playing with the ball. I mean, playoffs experience. I guess we'll call it. Can be a very valuable piece to a relatively young team.
Yeah, I think that in terms of being a replacement for Mike Scott, who we'll get to, I don't think he's probably going to have the productivity and the efficiency that a Scott will have. Jeff Green has never been the most efficient player, but, you know, last season, you know, shot a career best 54% on 2-point attempts and, you know, almost just a little over 31% which from three, which is, you know, not great, but, you know, 86% from the line as well. Almost 11 points, three rebounds, you know, 31 years old. I think that, you know, he revitalized his season of sorts. And I think that a bench piece for the minimum, you know, there's not many better out there than a guy like a Jeff Green.
I was a big fan of this signing. I mean, Jeff Green, even though he's just sporadic, and when you watch Jeff Green play, you just think he's supposed to be better than he is. Like, I remember like when he was at the Celtics and OKC, I was like, oh, this guy could be like a perfect complementary player on these teams. They just never really developed. Of course, he had the heart issue and everything. You know, I'm a big fan of Jeff Green. So I think, especially with the, you know, we saw how he looks, you know, in the corner off, you know, on catch and shoot passes from LeBron James. He's going to get a lot of similar looks with John Wall, Bradley Beal, you know, driving kickouts. So I like the fit of Jeff Green. You know, you just have to understand that it is going to be up and down. There will be games like the game 6 and game 7 against the Boston Celtics, and then he'll look like he did in the NBA Finals.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, it's not a bad signing for them, especially considering what their bench looks like. So I think it was a nice move. Moving on to Dwight Howard, who we already mentioned plenty today. 2 years, $11 million, second-year player option. Obviously, fills a need at center, can still have a big impact on the game. But the main concern is the locker room, the attitude, and kind of buying into a team in that role. What are your thoughts on Dwight Howard in Washington?
I mean, can he be much worse than Gortat? No. So any improvement there is exciting. He seems, I mean, just from comments on the offseason, he seems bought in. wanting to transform his game to a more modern style, whether he reaches the Anthony Davis caliber that he's shooting for.
Come on, man.
Hey, I have to have unwavering faith. I don't have a choice.
Good luck with that,
man. But yeah, I mean, it's, 16 points a game last season, better than the Gortat 10. If we're just going off raw stats, it's a clear improvement. You're getting rid of a toxic, or seemingly toxic player for something that
is equally toxic.
Isn't at the moment, but you know, time will tell. But yeah, I'm super excited to see those big, broad shoulders in a Wizards jersey.
I learned magic for 8 years, traveled to La La Land, learned how to work with rockets. I went and learned to fly with some hawks, got stung by the hornets, just a joke. But through all that, it's taught me how to be a wizard. I mean, come on, man. Dwight Howard, he's the corniest dude.
That is some philosophical stuff right there.
What kind of philosophy you buying into, mate? You're buying into some Twitter philosophy right there. It's Dwight Howard at his finest. And I mean, it's odd. I've always been a big sort of Dwight Howard guy. I remember saying on previous outlets, like last season as well, that I thought like he can be a decent presence. He's a rebounding monster, and he always has been. He's 32 years old, and you know his body isn't showing, you know, any real signs of wavering. He's been quite durable. And for me, I think the main sort of difference that you're looking at in terms of Gortat is Gortat was a very willing screener and a very good screener at that, and that sort of allowed him and John Wall to have as much an on-court chemistry as much as there was none off the court. Whereas I think Dwight Howard, if he does buy in and like Nick saying, and becomes this Anthony Davis, you know, rim runner, and you know, he sets some screens, the verticality that he can provide, he's still got that leap. He's still, you know, a ferocious dunk. He's still a beast down there. You know, he's a four-time defensive player of the year. Mm. Obviously, he's past that. He's still, you know, a very good blocker, and it will be an upgrade on defense over Gortat. It's just whether he's going to be stat hunting in terms of looking for that sort of second big contract to come after this one. It's going to be interesting to see. He's saying all the right things, but the players always say all the right things going into the offseason. So I'm excited because I think he can provide them with a higher ceiling. But like we said earlier, he can also provide them with an astronomically lower floor.
The last prediction I made on a big man was Joel Embiid, Rookie of the Year, which didn't happen,
but he should have. Yeah, fair enough.
So I'm 100% for big man predictions.
One from one, mate. One from one. Well done.
The Daily Double, Superman, D12, now D21, right? His number is 21 now.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've always been an advocate for Dwight Howard. I think last year on the outlet we had an episode where I said, is Dwight Howard a top five center in the league?
Remember
that podcast?
I might have, but I definitely said no because I'm the opposite of all of you guys. So.
Yeah. I think it might have been actually when he got traded to the Hornets that we actually had that discussion. I mean, I think this is perfect for the Wizards. I mean, he is everything Gortat is not. I mean, he can rebound to a high clip. He's still really good around the basket. He can still block. He's not the same defensive player of the year that he once was, but he is still a rim protector. He is still a big body. I mean, last year with the Hornets, he had some really nice moments. I mean, there was one play where, like, I saw him go coast to coast. It's like, what the hell is going on? Obviously, against the Brooklyn Nets, he had that 30-for-30 game. He's still a really capable player, you know, 16-12 last year. And I just think he'll be even better this year. You know, playing with a shooter like Bradley Beal, having a guy like John Wall to facilitate and throw him oops. Obviously, Dwight Howard is a known guy who doesn't like playing in the pick and roll. But if he just accepts the fact that he could be really good in the pick and roll with John Wall, this team could be really good offensively. Yeah. And I think Dwight Howard does still have some years left in him. But again, it's really not the on the court with Dwight Howard I'm worried about. It's more so, you know, is this guy going to be a dickhead in the locker room?
Yeah, I mean, you guys said some of the concerns. You know, he loves to sit in the post and try to get the ball down there and score. He doesn't necessarily love to set picks. And obviously in the NBA, that's what bigs are doing a lot. You need to be a monster on the boards. And defensively, yeah, he can still protect the paint. But as soon as you pull him out to the perimeter, he's definitely in trouble. So I think, you know, there's definitely some positives if he buys into the role, which is the biggest concern. You know, obviously it all looks good on paper. And, oh, Dwight's going to be the center. He's going to run pick and roll with John Wall. But is he actually going to do that? Is he going to do the small things? I think now in the modern NBA, a lot of bigs, you're looking for them to do dirty work. And I don't know if Dwight's going to buy into that. If he does, it'll be a great signing. If he doesn't, it could really hurt the Wizards. But at least for them, it's not a long-term deal. 2 years, I'm sure they could probably get out of it because the second year is a player option. But still, I'm not as high as you guys. I think it could really work out, but I also could think you're really bad.
I also think that if when we get to Thomas Bryan, I think Thomas Bryan can be a capable backup center as well. But yeah, we'll have a chat about him as well.
Well, that's actually our next topic. Thomas Bryan, young big, obviously some potential there. Kind of a flyer on a young guy, not having a ton of young talent on the roster. And I know the Wizards going the offseason wanted to get some young big. So there is some potential there. What are your thoughts on Thomas Bryan?
It's more – my concern more with Thomas Bryan is game time. For him, having to compete spots with Dwight and Jan, given that Scott Brooks is not one to play a lot of youth, I think Jan Mahimi and Dwight will steal a lot of game time from Bryant. But it's tough to say until you actually start seeing these lineups in the season. But I think that's my concern with him.
I like the flyer in terms of being, you know, a guy who's only 21 years old, you know, a high prospect in terms of, you know, his skill set, you know, very athletic, can shoot the three, you know, can do that little gritty stuff that I think, you know, Dwight will have some problems doing. But, you know, those two, you know, Dwight's obviously shown that he's been quite a durable player, but Jan Mahimi has barely played 60 games in his Wizards career. So I think that, in that sense, I think he could be a capable sort of backup to the backup. You know, you need to have that depth. And I think Thomas Bryan is a perfect sort of third big on your roster. And, you know, he might not be like, you know, sort of veteran guy, but it's worth taking a flyer on a guy like a Thomas Bryan because he could show you some flashy moments. And I think that he's going to be willing to do all that it takes to sort of, you know, extend his NBA career and whatever that means coming from Scott Brooks.
Well, that's right. I mean, that you touched on being so young, he's not going to have the same arrogance as Dwight Howard's going to have. He's going to be, like you said, trying to extend that contract. So he's going to be completely free form with however Brooks wants to play him.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to lie to you guys. I don't think I've ever seen Thomas Bryan play. I was going to be real, you know, and I when you get brought up Thomas Bryan, I was like, have I seen him play? And I went to Basketball Reference, which is probably the greatest thing ever invented. Seeing he playing just 15 games last year, now I know for sure that I definitely did not see any Thomas Bryan really. But who knows? He's younger. I said he's 20. You know, maybe he can develop into, you know, a solid backup center, but I don't see this guy getting a lot of runtime because, you know, they still have Mahimi on the books, and Mahimi's actually not bad. I like Mahimi.
I like him as well. Yeah,
it's just
when he plays.
Yeah, it's just
yeah, he's just always hurt. Yeah, yeah.
He was a lot better when he was on the Pacers. When I watched him with Wizards, hasn't been as good. I think a lot of it's injury and just like getting out of rhythm. But he fouls a ton. I remember seeing him come into a game and get like 3 fouls in a couple minutes. I was like, oh God.
And he always looks so angry and confused when he gets a foul. Like, what?
Me? You can't hit them on the head?
There's no blood. It's not a foul. No.
Straightball words with Jan Mahimi, definitely.
Prince.
Moving on to departures, Tim Frazier, Mike Scott, Chris McCullough, Ramon Sessions, Ty Lawson. Any of these guys you wish they re-signed? Or are they going to lose anything not re-signing them?
I was a big fan of obviously Mike Scott, no doubt. Of the two bench pieces that we brought in last season in Jody Meeks and Mike Scott, was easily the front runner, if you're comparing the two. You mentioned Ramon Sessions. I think that was a few seasons out. I don't think it was this season. I could talk about Ramon Sessions. I was a big fan of Ramon Sessions. I might have been the only one.
Yeah, I think he did.
Yeah, he was on the – he played some games. He got hurt, I think.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Mike Scott will definitely be sorely missed. His 3-and-D presence, or his 3, was just incredible. And he hit some clutch buckets for us.
Yeah, and he reached double figures in 31 of 76 games. You know, only Oubre had more than that off the bench. A really sort of striking stat, tied for 11th in the NBA in effective field goal percentage, which is pretty insane for a guy who isn't a knockdown three-point shooter, but he was so efficient in the mid-range. You know, if I was a Wizards fan, sitting next to one, if I was a Wizards fan, I'd probably prefer to have Scott over Green. But in terms of like what you're getting out of the productivity, in terms of how much you want them to contribute to winning basketball, I think it's negligible what you're sort of losing from a Scott to a Green. But he'll still be missed, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you miss You know, DUI, Ty Lawson.
You're sick.
That's bad. That wasn't a good one.
Guys, we're finishing the show without him.
losing composure. All right, back to the show.
Corey's actually drunk right now.
Yeah, that's the issue, right? I mean, you're not going to miss any of these guys. I mean, they all turned out to be relatively bust to a degree. I mean, they just never lived up to their roles. And Tim Frazier, I mean, that guy played really well for the Pelicans. You know, he had a couple triple doubles last year or the year before, and then he just fell off completely. Jody Meeks, he was just, I mean, I don't know what happened to him. He could hit threes. Now he can't hit threes. Much like I said about like Mike Scott, I think every time I saw Mike Scott take a jump shot last year, it went in. I swear to God, he did not miss anything. He felt like he was automatic in the 18 and a half minutes he played per game. So he's probably the only guy you missed because he was just, like you mentioned, Jack, you know, he was a really steady, consistent offensive option for them off the bench.
Dude, Mike Scott was a monster in the playoffs. He hit 63% from three. He had, like, so many big games, and he was saving them off the bench because he was actually a big that could kind of stretch the floor and rebound a little bit. So I think losing Mike Scott, but like you guys said, you know, I don't think they could afford to keep him. I don't think he got a ton of money, but the Wizards cap situation isn't very nice, so they kind of got the Jeff Green swap. But the rest of the guys, you know, Chris McCall's the guy that I always felt like had potential, but he just seems to never be able to do it on NBA floor, and he's had a real problem putting on weight because he's super skinny. And all the guards, obviously, you know, they brought in Austin Rivers. They have Santoransky. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I think we know about McCollum from our Nets days, but I think he may have a future in China. But I'm doing like research on like player season reviews and stuff. And when I go to NBC Sports and the team review of Tim Frazier, and his best game is revealed as 4 points, 3 rebounds, 2 steals, 2 blocks. 2 of 5 from the field. He did have 14 assists.
Okay. You started with the bad stats.
I did. I had to build the suspense. But yeah, I remember doing the Pelicans preview with you guys, and we were all really high on this, and sort of maybe they, like Corey was rattling off those names earlier, maybe they finally found their guy. Sadly not. Sadly not.
Well, hopefully Tim Frazier can get his game back up to normal levels. But starters, prediction portion of the show, who's starting on opening night for the Wizards?
Nick, but before we forgot, I think, the second round pick, Uzif Sanon, and he is going to be a draft and stash guy for those who don't know much about him. I think he's a similar sort of prospect, what I think they're going to be getting out of, like, Satoransky. You know, they sent Satoransky away to the Euro Leagues and got him back, and he was NBA ready. I think that's what they're going to be doing with a guy like Sanon.
So they'll get him NBA ready,
yep,
and then not play.
that possibly, but he is super duper young, you know, from Slovenia as well, who is churning out some absolutely insane NBA prospects, and he's only 18 years old as well. So I think that in terms of a second round flyer for Wizards fans, I think certainly keep an eye on him in the next 2-3 years. I think he could be NBA ready.
Nice little info from Jack. We only care about players that are going to be in the NBA. No,
true that.
Prediction wise, though, starters on opening night, you know, who do you got?
I think it's a, you know, a consensus. MO. It's a MO of Scott Brooks to stick to a consistent lineup. So the only change is going to be the fact that we don't have Marcin Gortat anymore, and so Dwight Howard's going to play. So it'll be Wall, Beal, Keefe, Otto, and Dwight.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to see some small ball lineups and see Oubre crack that starting rotation.
I would love to see Oubre crack that starting.
But we can say that for a little bit. But yeah, it's going to be that starting lineup. I'd be very, very surprised if otherwise.
Yeah, I'm right there with you guys. I think that's got to be a starting lineup. I'd be shocked if he went small to start.
Yeah, spot on with you guys. But position battles, where could we see changes in the starting lineup, rotations? Where can we see anything kind of spice it up?
Well, I think if they do want to play small, Kelly Oubre has a chance to maybe get into a position battle there, playing at the 3-4.
You can play Otto at the 4 and then play Keefe at the 5 if Dwight's like an absolute cancerous.
Well, that, yeah, I mean, if the big lineup doesn't work out. But most of the battles will be happening on the bench. Who's going to be that number two in that position? And I truly, truly hope that Satoransky gets the nod at the point with Rivers at the two.
We should call this
rather than Rivers taking on the one.
Yeah, we should call this the Thomas Satoransky pod. We've shown him some major.
He deserves it. Zach Lowe, big respect for the man.
Yes.
Is absolutely in love with Thomas Satoransky, and that has just like fortified my stance on him. I'm like all in on Sato.
Yep. Nick was in on Sato before it was cool, Zach. If you're listening,
first season was very good.
He definitely is listening.
Yeah. I mean, I would like to see some, you know, lineup rotations where Scott Brooks messes it with a little bit, but I highly doubt it. You know, if Howard is going to be a guy, then don't start Mahimi over him. Keep at the five. Throw some small ball lineups at it. In the death, if you're going up against like guys like the small ball death lineup in Golden State. Throw your own version out there. You know, test it out. It'll be interesting to see if, you know, he experiments a little bit in the preseason. That's what it's for at training camp as well. But I'd like to see, and like Nick was saying, you know, the guard rotation, the sort of backcourt battle is going to be one to watch in terms of the backups with Rivers, you know, Troy Brown possibly as well, if he can get some minutes in that sort of area. And then obviously Satoransky and Rivers.
I think the only positional battle could be, you know, maybe if, whatever position, I don't know who would go to the four in a small ball, but it'd be, you know, Kelly Oubre Jr. pushing for a starting spot and maybe either Marquise Morris going to the bench if they wanted to go small to start. But I agree with you guys, the bench battle will be probably more intriguing than any battle where the starting lineup to change.
Yeah, I think the biggest battle is internally in Scott Brooks's head and trying to put out new lineups and whatnot. But
that's deep.
Breakout starter for the Wizards.
Nicholas, who you got? Anyone?
Well, breakout starter, I mean, who hasn't broken out? The only one I can think of is Dwight because he hasn't played for us yet. I mean, does he average, you know, his 16 points a game off that bench? I mean, if he does and he shows some athleticism, does that make him his breakout? But you know, my instincts were telling me Otto, but I don't think he's going to have a better season than he did, what was it, 2 years ago when you offered him that, when Nets offered him that max and we were forced to.
You're welcome.
It was actually Jack and I. It wasn't Sean Marks. We personally sent him that offer.
Yeah, we got him on the DMs.
But I mean, if he can have another one of his absolute knockout seasons, I mean, that would be it for me.
Yeah, I'm in on Porter. I think that, you know, his 3 points, 3-and-D specialism, whatever you want to call it, I think that he can be one of the best players in that sense. You know, in terms of his PER last season, he was fourth for small forwards, only behind Paul George, Kevin Durant, and LeBron James. Obviously, those are the three best small forwards in the game right now. Yeah, not bad at all. So I think he needs to be utilized more in this offense. And, you know, not just let John Wall play some hero ball. I think there was some what Marchand got to say that everybody eats when Wall was out in terms of how the flow of the offense looked a lot better with Satoransky starting at the point. But I think, yeah, Porter has the skills and the capabilities. Like, you know, if you're comparing to, say, like a Robert Covington type, I think Porter has a more elevated ceiling in terms of offensively than a guy like Covington. And in terms of defensively, maybe Covington has him there. But I think he still hasn't reached, you know, his full potential yet. He's still, you know, youngish. He's only been in the season for five seasons, so he should still be yet to hit that ceiling. But he should be starting to sort of reach that peak. We should be seeing peak Porter. And maybe peak Porter should start trending for Wizards Twitter next season. Not bad, yeah?
Yeah,
that was bad. Right off the top of my head.
Not bad. I mean, for a guy, I mean, he's hitting 14 points a game. And is that enough? Exactly. I mean, but I don't think he gets fed enough.
Yeah.
There are many a game where he will shoot sub 10, whether he is shooting low or maybe he's he doesn't get the opportunities. But there are more often times where you'll see Wall, again, like you're saying, do that hero ball. And you trust him to do that. But you want to get your other players in just from a mental, like, don't worry about the game. From a mentality standpoint, if you are open on the wing and your star player does not choose you as the best option, it can be
deflating.
Exactly.
Yeah.
For me, the breakout star is going to be Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal is still only 24, and I think there's still a lot more that his offensive game can go to, especially if he becomes, you know, as we saw last year, the offensive focal point. You know, you add a Dwight Howard, you add a John Wall healthy, and Bradley Beal offensive load shrinks a little bit, but I think he becomes more efficient, which he's already an efficient shooter. I'm actually going to right now predict that Bradley Beal averages 25 points per game next year, which is going to be a 3-point jump. I
look forward to it.
If he's healthy and he's on the floor and you have these added weapons around him, I just think it makes a guy like Bradley Beal that much better. The ability to, you know, space the floor and everything else, he's going to be crucial next year to this team's success. And I'm actually expecting a breakout year from Bradley Beal and, you know, his second All-Star appearance.
And I think he learned a lot last season, obviously taking on a bigger role, and now it's going to be a little bit easier. But I like Otto Porter as well. He also dealt with a lot of injuries last year, and I think some of it is the Wizards. I remember seeing games where he didn't even have, like, 10 shots. And, like, you're paying him so much money, you need to get him shots. I also think, you know, I'll reference John Wall and the fact that he's not going to break out, but I think he's going to get back to form and be one of those top five point guards that everyone's talking about. Is he the best point guard in the East? And he's going to be back in that conversation. But oh, go ahead, Jack.
Yeah, I remember Corey and I arguing about that, debating that a little bit in terms of on the Full Access Hoops player power rankings one. And John Wall was probably one of the consensus guys who was just, what can we see from him? Can he get back there? And he's certainly in one of the most stacked positions in the NBA, but he has the elite talent. He's proven that. And let's hope he can be healthy, because I'm always about, you know, guys staying healthy and seeing the NBA at its best, seeing the stars at its best. And yeah, hopefully we see a revitalized Wall going into next season.
And he's definitely heard all the talk, so he probably has a mean chip on his shoulders, been putting in extra work. And I think Corey mentioned earlier, if he can get that jump shot going, you know, that's going to be huge and be more efficient having the guys around him. But breakout bench player for next year.
For me, it's got to be Kelly. I think that might be a
boob train,
maybe a basic decision, but he's just been consistently getting better and better every season. His defense is phenomenal. I think a lot of people focus on his offense because his ability to hit the three. He's quite an efficient player, and he's strong, he's athletic, but his defense is tremendous. If he can improve that offensive standing, he can be one of our best two-way players.
Yeah, I think he's also been working with the man himself, the famed trainer, Drew Hanlon, on dribbling and creating his own shot, which I think is, you know, vital when it comes to being an offensive weapon in any sort of system. You know, defensively, he can still improve. Three-point shooter, he can still improve as a one-on-one defender. But I think Wizards fans should be excited about having a still relatively young nucleus with Wall, Beal, Oubre, and Porter. Those four guys going forward, you know, they're still yet to sort of reach it as a collective. And I think that's one thing that should have Wizards fans somewhat optimistic. And I think Oubre is still growing, still very young. And I think we should see some big things from him next season.
Man. So, and I feel stupid for my pick now. No, I'm just kidding. Austin Rivers for me is the breakout bench player. I like the fact this team is, at least on paper, looks like they're going to have a nice backup guard for John Wall. I know you guys both love Sato. I'm very high on Sato too. I just like what Austin Rivers can give them. This is a guy who's obviously not scared to shoot the basketball. And I think the issue with their bench unit has been they just don't have a guy who can really go out there and just get a bucket. I don't even know who the last bench guy is that they had who can just go out and get a bucket on his own.
Ramon Sessions. Like he can be,
who?
Ramon Sessions.
Yeah, even there like he wasn't there anymore.
Thanks. I'm full. so for me, I think it's got to be Austin Rivers. I do think that he's better as a two guard off the bench, but I think he can be, you know, just an offensive threat. And I like the thought of him, you know, coming off the bench for, you know, 25, 26 minutes, probably 28 minutes realistically. I don't know how Scott Brooks is going to divvy up the minutes. And then just going out there with the sole intent to do a little bit of playmaking and then just score.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Jack and Nick on this. I'm going to go with Kelly Oubre Jr. I think contract year, it's a big year for him. He's looking to get paid. I think he improved as a three-point shooter last year, and they need him to make that jump. And obviously having somebody with that type of defense and versatility where he can kind of play the three of the four, he could probably defend two through four if he gets a little bit more weight on. I like Oubre to break out, and he could have a big impact for them moving forward. But best case scenario for the Wizards next season.
This is. I was anticipating this question because we've been talking.
Well, it's in the rundown, Nicholas. So yeah. Of course, you're anticipating. No,
I've been. You know, I'm good with words. I am excited because we've been talking about this throughout the whole podcast, the swing of the Wizards, the ebb and flow of and how good and bad this team can be. So
Jekyll and Hyde, mate.
I mean, I'm putting it, our best case scenario could be
don't say the first seed.
Second in the East.
Second.
Wow.
Yikes. Well,
Jack, did he smoke a joint before this?
We
I don't know, walking in the
guys, I'm going through a tunnel.
I'm only thinking maybe second is a bit high because of the Sixers.
Why didn't we get Nick to write for the hot take marathon?
But that's all. Cleveland are out. I think Pace has got lucky.
Oh, yeah, wow. Well, okay.
Hot take here.
Oh, let's just go.
Jack, Corey, you and I are going to take a couple minutes off. You guys.
Just going to drink.
But we're talking best case scenario, and these things, everything needs to go right for these things to happen. We reach our ceiling, and I think we can compete with your Philadelphia 76ers.
Interesting. I thought I was doing a massive hot take by putting him as the third seed, and I got barely any love from that on Twitter.
We've been talking about how what the ceiling of these guys is tremendous, and you don't think it could be on par with the Sixers?
No, because the Sixers have an even higher ceiling than the Wizards right
now.
Yeah,
but then, okay, if both teams fire at the same season, fair enough.
Yeah.
I'd agree
but,
with
and
you.
And the Wizards' floor is a lot greater. We've seen the Sixers without
this
Joel
Embiid. Best case scenario, Jack.
Yeah, okay, best case scenario.
Let me live in my head for a moment.
All right, you live in that fantasy magic Wizards land.
2K best just dropped. You can make it happen.
No. That's right. You'll be shocked when you see my worst case scenario.
Yeah, well, 2K, yeah, 2K dropped. Maybe start reading Harry Potter. Maybe that's where the Wizards will start firing a little bit more. I think that they can be a 3 or 4 seed, 50 wins or so. You know, last season, the Sixers got the third seed with 52 wins. I think that's a little bit much for a team that's barely got 50 wins in their entire franchise history. They got 49 wins a couple of seasons ago. I think that that's around the range that where their ceiling is. So I think best case scenario, a 3 seed, because I've put it out there. I've put it into the ethos in terms of with OTGBasketball.com. So I have to back up what I'm writing.
I mean, I agree with you, Jack. I mean, 50 wins seems right, and the second seed doesn't seem right to you. I think the Boston Celtics are going to eat a lot of wins in the East.
Yeah, but at the same time, you know, the Raptors, you know, could they get 55 wins? The Sixers, do they take a jump? Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Do the Pacers continue their form? You know, 48 win. Yeah, the Bucks, can they take a massive jump? You know, if you're talking about, you know, teams that can take another jump, I think that their ceiling is huge. But yeah, third seed, I think, isn't out of the realms of possibility, but I wouldn't put my money on it.
Hi. What do you got, Corey, after he threw me the shade at the Pacers?
He just came at me. Holy snap. I think, all right. So best case scenario, I mean, I think a 2 seed actually isn't crazy. For me, a best case scenario would be a 3 seed, you know, 50, 52 wins, somewhere in that range. You know, that's everybody being healthy, and that's, you know, Dwight Howard fitting in offensively, John Wall being healthy, Bradley Beal, exactly, 25 per game, Porter being nice, the bench actually being an efficient bench unit between Oubre Jr. and Austin Rivers. So I think a 2 seed, it would be like, you know, that's everything going their way. But I think a 3 seed is best case scenario.
Yeah, I think best case scenario is a 3 seed as well. I think, you know, Bradley Beal and John Wall finally gel together and you see a nice fit there. Dwight fits in, Porter and Oubre take another jump. And like Corey mentioned, the bench is solid. But worst case scenario.
Jeez, now the NBA have the biggest swing. I mean, you've got teams like the Pistons and even the Hornets to an extent that can overtake us if we decide to not show up next season.
I can't wait till the Nets have more wins than the Wizards because I've gotten so much crap from
them. Oh, yeah, for many years. Yeah. Many a year.
It's going to happen soon, mate. It could happen next year. Just wait. We'll see.
But there's a very real possibility that we finish 9th or 10th as a worst-case scenario. I can't see it unless we get 3 major injuries to our starting positions. I can't see it dropping below 10th.
Yeah, I mean, I've got them anything under 40 wins and missing the playoffs would be catastrophic for the Wizards. We've seen them, you know, without one of their stars still be a very capable team in the East. And I think the fact that the East is, you know, unless the Hornets and Pistons can get it all together, unless the East can, you know, unless those teams, you know, take a massive jump, I think the Wizards are still markedly better than them in terms of their roster, in terms of their talent. But I think as well, for me, if Wall cannot get back to full health in any sense of the word, because his full max supermax contract hasn't even kicked in yet, and it's not even kicking in next season. That like $39 million for that like first year of the supermax kicks in 2019-2020.
So we're like, we've secured him for the next 7 years.
But yeah, like he's on 19, he's still on that the last year of that like I think $90 million deal or something around that mark. So like $90 million next year. Like if the fact if he can't get it back, that would be the worst contract in the NBA. Like it's we've talked about Mozgov and Biombo. Everyone knows those ones. But if Wall can't get back, you're paying a guy $40 million freaking dollars. Like we'll who knows? Maybe the Phoenix Suns make a trade for him or something.
We'll give him to you guys.
Yeah, maybe he goes to the Magic and does some other wizardry over there.
Magic Wizards, what? No.
Yeah.
Worst case for you, Corey.
Yeah, my worst case scenario is probably them being a bottom of the East team. You know, a 6 seed or a 7 seed. You know, there's chemistry issues, there's injuries, and this team gets, you know, ousted in the first round in a 6 or 7 game series. I still think even if this team is like a 6 or 7 seed, no matter who they play, they're probably going to take them into a deep playoff first round series. Yeah. I just think this team does have that kind of talent that as long as they're healthy, I mean, if they don't have one of their star guys for a playoff series, that's different. But if this team is healthy in the first round, they're still going to win at least 2 games, I think.
Yeah, I'm going to go with like 40, 42 wins, you know, probably an 8 seed, worst case scenario. Maybe they just miss out and obviously injuries happen and then Dwight is just terrible and that just whole situation doesn't work out. Maybe I'm hoping that happens, but actual prediction.
I'm very surprised that your worst case scenario still put us in the playoffs. I have a lot of faith now. But my actual prediction will probably be around the 45, like just a smidge over 500.
Yeah.
I think we'll finish 7th, 6th.
Yeah.
As an actual prediction. So that's I'm tempering expectations there because I'm leaning closer to the worst case scenario in 10th than the best case scenario in 2nd.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Bucks, the Wizards, and the Pacers are in this sort of fight for that sort of 3 and 4 seed, you know, from like 4 to 6, 3 to 6, they're going to be in a real race there. So I think that they'll finish around the middle of there. I think they'll finish around 5th, maybe 46 wins. I think that, you know, 43 wins last season. I think if they're healthy, John Wall automatically gives you an extra 3 wins. I think if, you know, all the guys improve like we've been saying, and I think Dwight Howard is anything of an upgrade over Marcin Gortat, then I think they have to get a couple more wins. It's just about, it's going to be fascinating to see. There's so many storylines around this Wizards team, but the teams around them as well, the Bucks and the Pacers. Can the Bucks take the massive leap? They're one of the best players in the Eastern Conference. Can the Pacers continue with Nate Miller under his system to take leaps and bounds and to convict Oladipo and lead them? Can Turner take a jump? Those are questions that will affect, I think, this Washington Wizards team.
Yeah, I'm screwed when it comes to like this Eastern Conference standings because like like the Pacers, Bucks, and Wizards are all fighting for these, you know, the 4 through 6 range. I think the actual prediction I got for the Wizards is I think they're going to be the 5 seed. I think they're going to be right in the middle of the East. I don't think they're good enough to have home court personally. I think they're going to. I'm really high on the Bucks this year. I think you can't underestimate the Raptors or the Sixers. So I think 5 is about right. I think I'm looking forward to seeing what this big three in Washington looks like. So I'm going to say they probably get right around 47, 48 wins on the year.
Yeah, I'm around the same range as you guys. I think anywhere between 45 and 47 wins, that 4 to 6 range. You know, John Wall's back. He gets his stuff going. Dwight has some good moments. He also has some bad ones. And maybe they make another move at the deadline and trade another first-round pick, which it feels like they do a lot. But now, the most important question of the show, what emoji represents the Wizards for you?
So I'm going to be picking the avocado emoji. Now, Kat, bear with me because I've got an explanation for this. All right. So we are an interesting fruit thing. We've got an acquired taste.
There we go.
All right. Some people will love us. Some people like that creamy, smooth, disgusting taste, and other people find it absolutely horrendous. I fall into the case of I hate avocados, but I don't hate the Wizards, so that's a bit of a moot point. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be a bit of a love-hate relationship with a lot of people. We've got some aspects that we like and some aspects that we'll actually absolutely love, and
Yeah, just add a bit of lemon and salt, and the Washington Wizards are going to be fine this season. I've got the zipper mouth face. The Wizards just really need to shut the hell up and let their basketball do the talking.
Well, avocados can't talk, mate.
They should, like... Yeah, I guess we'll... I'm tripping on that avocado one. That's pretty good. I haven't had breakfast yet. I might have some avo on toast. Nick, you got any avos here? But yeah, I'm going to zip a mouth face because the Wizards just need to stop talking and start putting it all out on the court.
My emoji face is the smile face. Like, I'm literally smiling because I actually think the Washington Wizards are going to be really good. I think this team is going to be fun between, John Wall, Beal, Dwight Howard. I think this actually is a big four almost. I mean, if Otto Porter Jr. plays up to what he's been doing the last couple of years, I mean, this is a team that's got a lot of talent in that starting lineup. So I'm smiling because I think the Wizards may actually, believe it or not, guys, hold on, they might actually back up their words this year.
Wow.
Whoa.
We need that, you know, that mode where the guy is just like fully shook.
Yeah.
I need to stop referencing GIFs on a podcast. I do it too often.
For me, I'm going to go with the two masks, you know, like the performing arts, you know, the one happy face and the one sad face, because I think the Wizard season could go either way. So they could be really happy or really upset.
Off the court?
What?
Are they smiling on the court and they're frowning off the court? Is that what it is?
It could be both. It could be both, or it could be both in the wrong way. So, but league pass rating 1 through 10.
Am I less of a fan if I give this one less than 10? No, I legitimately am going to give this one an 8 because personal bias, but a little bit in there. But I do think that how they play the young pieces, and I'm really excited about Dwight. I think I've mentioned this on this show.
You have
a couple of times. but yeah, I am excited to see how we gel together. I'm more just excited for basketball to be back, and they're going to be my team to watch.
Yeah, it's odd. I think that stylistically they could be a really fun team, but at the same time they could be horrible to watch. Mm-hmm. So, like, do you go just with a straight 5 because of that? I'm going to give them a 6.5. Partly because
6.7. Give us the 0.2.
Well, Nick went like Corey went like 1.7 with one of them. I'll give you 6.75 because it's the 3-quarter range.
Thank you.
All right, so it's closer to 7 for you, mate. Yeah, happy now.
So I'm actually giving out my highest league pass rating so far. Ooh. I'm giving the Wizards a 7. I'm really interested to see how this team looks on the floor. So I think this team, as we mentioned, in the best case scenario, I think this is a 3 seed. And Nick's La La Dreamland, they're a 2 seed. I think this team is going to be pretty fun to watch, especially if they're all healthy. And I actually have high hopes for this team. And I'm a big Bradley Beal fan already. So I have a lot of interest in this Wizards team.
Yeah, it's a highest for me as well. It's going to be a 7.5, like Corey said. There's just a lot of fun players to watch, a lot of young guys. I like John Wall. I want to see him get back to that level. But what TV show would you watch over the Wizards? Hypothetical, obviously, Nick, you're a Wizards fan, but we got a gun to your head. Who are you picking?
I mean, it would have to be something I've already seen, wouldn't it? Like, because there's not a lot that I wouldn't choose over the there's not a lot I would watch over watching the Wizards. I would probably watch, I don't know, like a
Game of Thrones.
Hold on, what was it? What would I watch over?
Yeah, so if you've got like, if you, there's like a new episode of your favorite show or the Wizards, what are you choosing?
Okay. So what would that show be is the question.
Like,
okay.
So like if it's like I said for the Nets one that like it'd have to be like a reboot of The Office for me to like have any chance of like dragging me away from a Nets game.
All right. So if it was like it would have to be my favorite show, new episode, Game of Thrones.
Right.
Like I have to see that the second it comes out.
Yeah.
So it's pretty high on my list.
What about a Wizards playoff game?
It's around the same time, isn't it, almost?
Yeah, I think so. Like in terms of we're not going to say what our like our downloading habits are here. We don't want to get ourselves into trouble. But if there was a game one of like a Wizards playoff series and like episode 2 of like the new season of Game of Thrones is out, what are you going for?
I mean, it all depends on where in the season it's situated. Right. Because like if it was a season premiere or a last 2-3 episodes, which it gets hectic in Game of Thrones,
Dragons.
I would pick Game of Thrones. But you can always watch Game of Thrones later.
That's the thing. I think sports you need to watch live.
Yeah, I can't watch replay sports.
Like TV, the TV.
We're trying to debunk the segment.
In theory, yeah, Jack is correct. I mean, watching TV replay doesn't really matter. I'm a binge watcher, so I prefer when it's old. But what do you got?
I'm a sucker for reality TV. Nick knows how much I am a bit of a...
It's disgusting.
Yeah, I'm a horrible human being. But for me, I'd watch them over shows like X on the Beach, Jersey Shore, and a bit of Love Island. But, those are great shows.
Who wouldn't?
Love Island is an international phenomenon. Coming to the United States very soon, ladies and gentlemen. Tune in.
Do not watch it. Save yourself.
Don't worry about it, mate.
The only one I've heard of is Jersey Shore, so... Corey, what do you got?
I'm actually using a show I like now. I think we're at this point of the show, Nick, where I'm not gonna have to figure out what shows I don't like to pick. So the first show I'm picking Breaking Bad. Obviously, I think
almost picked that for this.
What?
I almost picked that myself.
Yeah. I've only watched Breaking Bad through twice. I don't know if I'll watch it a third time through, but I probably will at some point. It's one of those shows. It's kind of hard to rewatch because it's one of those shows. It's really exciting the first time through. Then the second time you kind of pick up on the small stuff. And the third time you're what am I going to miss? I've already seen it. Yeah. But obviously as you guys, I'm sure you guys have watched it too. It's a really good show. Mm-hmm. It's probably in my top 20 of all time favorite shows. So, I'll pick The Wizards over that.
Yeah, to make my life easier, Corey mentioned top 20. I made a top 20 list, which I will not release, but it's for my personal use to figure out shows for
this. Come on, the pop culture segment's coming, baby.
Oh, it's about to say.
Guys, that's low-key. This is confidential stuff. I don't know where you're leaking information.
Oh, whoops.
I'm just kidding.
We have an OTG insider that'll be doing an op-ed for the Times very soon about
what Nick Fagan. Will tweet out the press release for us.
I'll write it myself. No, for me, I'm going Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Meaning the Wizards are a team that I actually like, but Brooklyn Nine-Nine is a funny show, which we talked about a little bit before the pod as well. But and they got the ties to the Nets, so that's always cool. But any last thoughts on the Wizards before we get out of here for our 2-hour podcast? No, I'm just kidding.
Pacers are better.
Oh. if the Pacers can fire, then yes, they definitely will be.
We need two tweets out on the OTG account. One, what was it again? Who are we talking about?
Bradley Beal and John Wall. I can give you an update.
Wait, what's the update?
Please
do.
All right.
Beal or Wall? Right now, I think Wall will be winning.
Wall's got a lot of fandom behind
Wall it. Wall is at 59%. Bradley Beal, 41%. Ooh. The comments are more interesting, though, because I've seen one from Dylan Jackson that said this is very easy and it's Bradley Beal, and then other ones said it's very easy, it's John Wall. So definitely check that out at OTG Basketball on Twitter.
Yeah, definitely. I'm checking that. My phone is dead, but I need it to be alive so I can jump into those comments, because that sounds fire. And Nick hasn't been on Twitter in ages, but he might have to jump on for that.
Get back on Twitter.
Yeah. I've got no real final thoughts on the Wizards other than we can be the team to watch this year, but there is a question I want to pose to you guys after. We'll get Jackson. You guys' thoughts on the Wizards first.
Yeah, Nick and I'll do it because we've had this long.
Don't you spit some propaganda so that
I'll
you
just say
get them onto your corner.
I'll just say what the question is. The long running debate between myself and Nick is who would you rather have as your number one guy to run a franchise with, Draymond Green or Klay Thompson?
And it's been heavily weighted to one side. So I'm curious to hear your thoughts.
Corey, you go first.
No, you go first this time. It's your turn to go first on this podcast.
I think, if you're purely starting a team, finding a player like Klay Thompson is probably harder in terms of spacing and needing an elite three-point shooter. Players like Klay, he's going to go down as one of the best shooters of all time. Obviously, Draymond could go down as one of the best defenders. But if you don't have any players that can score, and I think Draymond can play, make, and play great defense, but Klay's a guy where you can get a ton of scoring out of him and just get that pop, and he's the focal point of your offense. And as much as I hate to say it, offense matters more than defense a lot. And I think, there's times when you can't guard Klay Thompson. No matter what you do, we've seen him drop 30-plus points in a quarter. Draymond Green, great defender, but we've also seen him get bodied by LeBron James, bodied by Anthony Davis, Clay is that guy where you can't necessarily defend him. So I think I would go with Clay just because he's so rare. I mean, it's very close, though. I don't think it's like a clear cut. I would agree with either way.
I think more the question was who would get more wins if, like, if you were starting a team, who would get more wins
by themselves?
Clay, like more, a greater win share, I guess, maybe, like Clay or Draymond.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, it's obviously, we'll let Corey have his thoughts.
I think it's Clay Thompson still. Let me just remind you guys. I'll throw my own shit at the Pacers. Let me remind
you. I didn't want to do it, actually.
of this time that Clay Thompson scored 60 points. He held the ball for only 90 seconds in a game and scored 60 points. He took only 11 dribbles in a freaking game and scored 60 points. Yeah, that's the kind of offense you get from Clay Thompson.
Very true. Very valid points.
I think
got to be him.
Yeah, I mean, this is why I work for OTG Basketball. I've put the tweet. I did a poll, Nicholas. We've done like Vox Pops. It's over
You're
now.
You're never going to change my mind.
It's over.
You need to change.
I think there is an argument for Draymond. There is an argument.
Clay is the most placid dude on that locker room. You think that team's going to be playing with the same vigor, with the same fight, with the same intensity, quality that Draymond will give. I'm not denying that Clay is an immensely better player than Draymond Green at what he does. Draymond's, like, if we're talking like raw stats and the amount of points he gives, and then that translates to wins. Yeah, okay, maybe. But does Clay make five other players around him better? I mean, yes. It's a well known fact that Draymond is a very huge presence in that team.
Yeah, but
his spacing makes him better.
But I also think if you put Draymond in a different situation, Draymond's too much of a dickhead for anybody to really like him.
Exactly. I don't think that he, like, I think Clay Thompson,
I think he commands a lot of respect from his teammates. It's just players on other teams don't like him. He's one of those players that you'd love to have, but hate to play against.
Yeah, I think Draymond, sorry to cut you off, Jack. I think one reason Draymond's attitude and leadership is able to work is because they have Steph. And Steph is just this, like, great, amazing player that's just a leader that does things and makes everybody kind of work. And I think Steph is, like, one of the most underrated guys in that aspect. And that allows Draymond to be a dickhead. And I think at times his teammates probably hate him. I know Steve Kerr didn't like him at one point, and now they're, you know, good friends. But I think there's an argument for both sides, but it's still, I would go with Clay as well.
Could you not say the same thing about Clay, that he benefits from a system?
Yeah, okay.
He definitely does.
This has been a long podcast. We can have this debate.
We could start another podcast.
I knew in my heart of hearts you'd pick Clay, but I don't know. I'm staunch. I'm not wavering.
Fair enough, mate. All right, let's end it there with that, please. Please.
To give you some love, Nick, one of the most heated debates I ever got within on a podcast was about Draymond Green. I was on the pro Draymond side.
But hey, nice.
That wraps it up for the Wizards. Big thanks to Jack and Nick for hopping on. JBT Crossover. Check out their podcast on iTunes, Block Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Dash Radio, and YouTube. And as always, a pleasure, Corey. And thank you, everybody, for listening.
Peace out, knuckleheads.